From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Thursday, December 14th. Coming up, an evergreen called the Eastern Red Cedar is taking increasing amounts of land throughout the Great Plains, and some states are trying to stop the tree's spread. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Governor J.B. Pritzker has declared this week Dog and Cat Adoption Week in Illinois. Speaking at the Anti-Cruelty Society in Chicago yesterday, Pritzker says shelters across the state are full of dogs and cats in search of a forever family.
As we move into the holiday season, I encourage every Illinoisan to consider welcoming a new best friend into your home. They need you, and I can guarantee that you won't be sorry. In fact, you probably need them too.
Many shelters are struggling with overcrowding as people give up pets they adopted during the pandemic. The Anti-Cruelty Society says they currently have nearly 300 animals in their care. They're waiving all adoption fees in December to encourage folks to bring pets home. Governor J.B. Pritzker's office says there are no plans to pay a private security firm for construction at a now-scrapped base camp to shelter migrants. Pritzker's administration halted the migrant shelter in Brighton Park on Chicago's southwest side due to environmental concerns. The decision came while construction of structures were already underway. Pritzker says the contractor, Garda World, knew the site may not get used.
They knew as they were building this shelter before the environmental report came in that it was possible that the environmental report wouldn't allow the completion of the shelter. And so they understood that and they were willing to take that liability on.
Pritzker's office says the state plans to use Garda World to open additional shelters. A Garda World spokesperson declined to comment on details of its state contract. The Cook County Department of Public Health says now is the perfect time to get vaccinated for COVID-19 ahead of the winter holidays. Adora Namagadi reports.
COVID hospitalizations are relatively low in Cook County right now, but they've nearly doubled since the start of November. Dr. Lamar Hasbrook of the Cook County Department of Public Health says it's important to remember the virus can spread at holiday gatherings and that there are several other illnesses going around.
There are a lot of influenza-like illnesses during this time of the year, and we talk about the triple threat, sometimes called the triple-demic, with flu and RSV as well for some of the folks who are older and young. So one of the things they should know is that they can go in and get all three of those vaccinations even at the same time without any problem.
It will take about 2 weeks after getting the shots for the full protective immunity to take effect. Adora Namigadde.
Bus driver shortages continue to plague the U.S. transportation industry. That includes the Mass Transit District in Champaign-Urbana. Illinois Student Newsroom's Piper Pascarella explains.
Carl Gannett is the managing director of the Champaign-Urbana MTD. He says MTD has hired more drivers in recent months, but still faces staffing problems.
We are still experiencing a shortage. It's not as bad as it has been. We've been working really hard at recovering from that, but we're short probably 10 to 15 part-timers that we're still trying to hire.
He says the issue spreads nationwide and has persisted for years. He says many older bus drivers retired when the COVID-19 pandemic hit, and many of those vacancies have yet to be refilled. I'm Piper Pascarella, Illinois Student Newsroom.
Alyssa Eaton contributed to reporting. Still to come, an evergreen called the Eastern Red Cedar is taking increasing amounts of land throughout the Great Plains, and some states are trying to stop the tree's spread. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
Next time on the 21st Show, we'll talk about the 21st Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. It ended Prohibition 90 years ago this month. Plus, a return visit from Illinois Teacher of the Year Brianna Morales, talking about a nonprofit she created in memory of one of her students. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
This is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's that time of year when many people are looking for the perfect Christmas tree. But one evergreen in the Great Plains has become considered a nuisance. The eastern red cedar is native, but it's encroaching in places where it didn't used to grow and slurping up billions of gallons of water. Harvest Public Media contributor Grayson Wheeler reports on what's being done to manage the tree.
When Kelly Roberts was a kid in the 1970s, her family would scout their northwestern Oklahoma pasture every year, looking for the perfect eastern red cedar to become their Christmas tree.
And so we would look for the right height and right width, and does that fit in the corner, you know, and all those kinds of things. And I remember traipsing across the pasture, and there were very few. So we would have to walk a while before we would find one.
50 years later, it's a different story. Eastern red cedars are carpeting areas of Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, and Texas. Roberts isn't thrilled about the abundance of Christmas tree candidates. She grew up in northwestern Oklahoma. Her parents still live there. Roberts says the red cedars are changing the landscape and taking a lot of water.
So it's 1.5 billion gallons of water a day. That's what our trees are drinking. And so it's almost like you have a really nice smelling, deep green sponge layer all over, you know, the state.
Red cedars aren't necessarily thirstier than other trees, but they're extremely drought tolerant, sucking up water in places where it's scarcest. The trees create a thick evergreen canopy that can prevent other plant species from growing, and they provide fuel for wildfires that sweep across the plains. Roberts got so concerned she lobbied the Oklahoma State Legislature. She brought them Christmas tree-shaped cookies with little no signs on them in hopes they'd set aside funds to remove the trees. The legislature paid attention. And this year, Oklahoma began a more than $3 million red cedar removal pilot project, which started last month. Instead of hard hats and golden shovels, they passed out giant gold shears.
In this case, we're here to kill cedars, so we bought our golden nippers.
Trey Lamb is the executive director of the Oklahoma Conservation Commission, which is in charge of removing the trees. They're focusing on one watershed for now, but Lamb hopes this is just the beginning.
I think we've lost so much land to the eastern red cedar that I think once we start to show some success, I think there's going to be the public's going to really appreciate it and want to invest in it further.
Red cedars are also creeping across other states. The Nebraska Sandhills are home to 30 times more red cedars than they were 20 years ago. Aaron Mittelstadt studies watersheds at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. He says in the Sandhills, where there's lots of land but not many people, it can be hard for ranchers to manage the trees.
They may not notice anything's wrong, then all of a sudden one day they're like, whoa, there's red cedar everywhere.
Mittelstadt says the trees could cause a unique water quality problem for the Platte River, which provides drinking water to hundreds of thousands of Nebraskans. The Platte runs down from the Rockies, picking up nitrates and other pollutants as it passes through cities and farmland. But clean water running down from the Sandhills helps keep pollutant concentrations low. If red cedars keep spreading and gobbling up that clean water, it could mean more pollutants to deal with downstream. Mittelstadt says that's the worst case scenario.
So we're trying to bring it to their attention now before it gets too late and, you know, becomes a major problem.
But there's a great tool against ornery red cedars, fire. Red cedars are super flammable. Before 1850, most parts of the plains saw fires every few years, meaning the trees could only grow in rocky canyons, along rivers, or other places where grass fires couldn't reach them. Since then, fire has abated and red cedars have run rampant. Scott Stout is president of the Nebraska Prescribed Fire Council, which gives landowners tools to plan burns on their lands.
Our whole goal is to put more prescribed fire out into the grasslands. And in our areas, the biggest thing is the cedar tree encroachment.
Stout, who's also a rancher in southwest Nebraska, says he's noticed using fires to remove red cedars often improves the flow of streams. And that's not the only difference he's seen.
From the bottom line of this cattle producer or whatever, you know, if you're increasing grazing acres for your cattle, the wildlife improvements, you know, there's so many different things that benefit from that prescribed fire that, you know, it's just hard to mention them all.
Prescribed fire experts say it'll take continued efforts from individual landowners, state legislators, and federal agencies to slow the spread of the red cedar. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Grayson Wheeler.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be sunny with a high of 51 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Katie O'Connell, Tessa Weinberg, Adora Namagadi, Piper Pascarella, Alyssa Eaton, and Grayson Wheeler. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.